Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 238 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk a lot of volleyball today, but we're also going to discuss the football playoffs with my first guest. He is the father of Ankeny Centennial volleyball player Addie Pollock, but he is also an assistant football coach at Dowling Catholic. He is Andy Pollock. Andy, thanks for joining me. I know it's a busy week for you. How you doing?
It is. I didn't know if we were here to talk volleyball or football, but I'm up for whatever right now, kind of flying high after yesterday.
All of that.
Or two.
Well, we can do them both. Before we break down the football playoffs, I did want to get your thoughts on state volleyball. I know you were over in Coralville yesterday for the Jaguars' 5-set victory over Ankeny in the Class 5A quarterfinals. You know, did you start to get a little worried there when the Hawkettes were making their comeback?
I was trying to play calm, sitting there. And I was right beside the up ref, and I've known Jay for a long time, the up ref there. We grew up in the same area, and I've watched what he does. He's one of the best in the business, and there's a couple times that you just want to yell, "Hey, what are you thinking?" But I've known him for a long time, and I have a lot of respect for what those guys do up there. But as we watched, got to that fifth set, and the Jags have been in that fifth set so many times this year and seem to come away with it more often than not. So I tried to stay calm, as I think the coach and me came out and tried to stay a little more calm as things were going on. Didn't realize how nervous I was until I got out my phone to film the final point and realized how much I was shaking as things were going on.
But I'll bet.
Certainly a lot of fun and a lot of memories created. And how about just sitting around yesterday and seeing some of the other games and seeing what some of the other crowds were like? It was incredible to see the atmosphere that Ankeny showed up with, both Hawks and the Jags, both sides. It was really cool, a great environment for the girls to play in front of, and obviously they put on a good show as well, so that made things a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, the top four seeds in Class 5A all advanced, so now Centennial will meet Joaquin Northwest in Wednesday semifinals, while Dowling will play face Pleasant Valley. The Jaguars have already defeated Northwest twice, but both matches were very close. Dowling has been the most consistent team all year, but the Maroons do have 7 losses, so it seems to me like any of the 4 remaining teams could come out on top. You know, do you feel like those 4 squads are all pretty even?
It's Pleasant Valley is a team I haven't seen as much. I know historically they've been very good, and I know start the year they weren't as highly thought of, just after losing a lot after the last 2 seasons they've had, especially Joaquin Northwest. I know is looking at this as their time right now. They've got a lot of seniors. They've been it's a group that's played together a lot since they were sophomores coming up. Coach Vogt over there is another gal that I grew up with, so I've known Coach Jody for a long time there, and she's got her 3 daughters playing for her, which has got to be incredibly special over there at Joaquin Northwest. I think that'd be a lot of fun to be able to coach my kids. Maybe a little frustrating at times, but it's going to be a fun finish to all this. Obviously, the Jaguars have played them, gone the maximum sets each time we played them this year, and come out on top. And, you know, volleyball is such a sport of you getting caught in the right rotation or the wrong rotation as you watch it from an outsider's perspective. And I know there's a lot more to it than that, but man, you see that. And Dowling's a team that when Mackenzie Dina, I think, is the best player in the state, when she's in the front row, you want to minimize the damage she can do and then hope you can get her to the back row again where she can still do damage, but that's when you got to make your hay. So there's just a lot of fun volleyball left to be played here over the next 2 days, and I'll be there for all of it.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'll see you over there. Let's talk some football now. You coach the offensive line at Dowling, and your team opened the playoffs on Friday with a 45-0 victory over Sioux City East. Your team had a 38-0 lead at halftime, so I assume you guys were able to get most, if not all, of your starters out of the game pretty early. You know, you had to be pretty happy with that performance.
We were. Sioux City East, we kicked off to Sioux City East first, and with over 11 minutes to go in the first quarter, we were already up 8-0. That's a team that we got up on early, scored 3 touchdowns in the first 5 or 6 minutes, I think it was, and we were able to, like you said, get a lot of people, and we had 3 different guys kick extra points, which I thought was kind of a unique stat through the course of that game. But our kids played well. They played hard. We've got a really good group of kids right now. They were able to, they all pull for each other, which is great. There's a lot of egos to manage anymore in high school sports, with a lot of kids getting pulled different directions from club sports and club coaches and getting told how good they are all the time. And then you've got to manage those. And our kids have done a nice job looking out for each other this year. It's a close-knit team, and it's fun to watch them pull for each other. And it's really fun when you get some of the other guys that don't normally get into the games to watch all the guys that play a lot pull for them just as hard as they get pulled for when they're in as well. So we enjoyed that, and hope to keep some of that momentum going as we head now into another round of the postseason.
Well, yeah, your standout running back, Rashad Davis, ran for 3 touchdowns. Your quarterback, Dante Cataldo, completed all 10 of his passes for 86 yards and 2 scores. Your defense allowed just 104 total yards and had 3 takeaways. You know, I didn't see much in the stats for you guys to complain about. It looked like a pretty dominant win on paper.
It really was. Once we got ahead, the Sioux City East quarterback, unfortunately, right towards the end of the first quarter, went to slide and his knee got caught in the turf and broke his leg. And after that, they were stuck. Their backup quarterback broke his leg, I think it was a week ago, so they just didn't have anything left. So once we got ahead, it just kind of became a game of we'll just manage the rest of this and stay healthy and head to the next round.
Well, now your team will have a rematch against Ankeny in Friday's quarterfinals at Williams Stadium. The Hawks advanced with a 21-9 victory over Johnston. And they have now won 6 of their last 7 games since dropping a 35-14 decision to Dowling on September 8th at Valley Stadium. You know, what did you see from Ankeny in that win, and how have the Hawks changed or improved since you saw them?
Well, first of all, I think Coach Bauer has just done an incredible job this year. I don't think there was many expectations for what he was taking over, and I don't think that's a knock on the kids that are there. I think it just had a lot to do with the unknown. A lot of names you had heard of yet. They graduated an outstanding senior class each of the last couple of years, and there just was a lot of guys waiting to have their turn. So as they went into it, again, Coach Bauer's first year as a coach, I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect, and he's done an awesome job with the start that he's had with those kids, creating a great winning culture, and you saw that to start the year against Centennial. You know, never say die, you can't count them out. I know we were up by a lot early on in the game that we played in first, and since September 8th, that feels like a long time ago. We played them, but we got out to a big lead early on in that game, and you know they made things interesting in the fourth quarter. And so I think they're a team, they don't quit on you. They do things a little bit differently. Well, I should say a lot bit differently defensively that you have to prepare for. It makes you simplify everything that you do offensively and have to do it very well because of all the different looks that they give you. And then offensively, I can't say enough about the work that their offensive line has done. I mean, everybody looks at the big plays that they get from Akers, and he's an outstanding talent, but what they are able to do, it's them being able to run the football with their offensive line, a pair of really talented running backs, and that's what's allowed them to have this win streak and just continue to trudge along. You know, you watch what they do, and I mean this in all sincerity, there's not a whole lot of what they do that's special. They just do it well. And that's a great compliment, I think. You don't have that, they don't have those ugly plays every once in a while that are busted plays or anything like that. They just go about their business. And it's pretty impressive to watch.
Well, yeah, Ankeny boasts a balanced offensive attack, and they were able to rack up 284 total yards in that first meeting. You mentioned Devin Akers, who's blossomed into one of the state's top deep ball threats. He had 2 catches for 96 yards and a pair of scores in that first game. And I assume that Akers is probably the first name that shows up on your defensive scouting report. You know, he's a guy that you absolutely have to account for, because I know Ankeny coach Jeff Bauer has told me that if, you know, a team tries to defend Akers with just one player, the Hawks are going to throw him the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And in his height and his athleticism allows him to get over the top of everything. And he gets there. He's a guy that I don't know what his college prospects look like right now, but I know he's going to be a steal at whatever level he gets to. He just changes the whole complexity, and it's weird how one player can do that in high school football or even college football for that matter, but you turn it into a 9-on-10 game everywhere else with it defensively, and it makes things difficult, and that it's a great complementary offense. It allows you to run the football more with one less guy in the box and not devoting him to it, so and they've been able to get him the ball in a couple of unique ways, but it's going to pose a challenge for sure, and that's what you got to be physical with the guys that are devoted to the run, and then hope that you minimize the amount of plays that he can get over the top of you.
Yeah, I know Devin has a lot of D2 offers, and he's had some D1 schools look at him, but I'm not sure what a D1 school wouldn't see in him. I mean, he's got the size, he's got the track speed. I've seen him make some tremendous catches, so he's obviously
the other night,
good hands.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, what's missing in that pack?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I know a lot of the D1 schools want to see you at their camps over the summer heading into your senior year, and that's one of the unfortunate things. There's been a lot of good that's happened in recruiting with the early signing period, but one of the unfortunate things is some of the late bloomers get overlooked a little bit. And so I don't know if he's in that camp. I don't know what he's done for camps over the course of the summer, but you know, a lot of them want to see you in their controlled setting and put you through a workout before they offer you. And I don't know what you see on film that doesn't interest you in that guy, though, as you watch him run around.
Oh, for sure. Well, then on the other side of the ball in that game, your team had more than 500 total yards. Davis rushed for a whopping 242 yards and 3 touchdowns on 36 carries. And obviously, if you guys are able to control the ball like that and rack up, you know, those kind of numbers again, that's going to take a lot of the pressure off your defense.
Well, for sure. We had a lot of things go right early on in that game. Had a couple scrambles with our quarterback, Dante Cataldo, who's just as equally talented with his feet as he is with his arm. But had a lot of things go right on some broken plays early on. He extended them. I think we got them out of their coverage that they wanted to be in early by completing some passes. And that allowed us, just like we talked about before with Ankeny, but allowed, they had to take another guy out of that run game, and that really opened up things for us after being able to throw the ball early on. And Dante was really good that game. We're going to need a night like that from him again.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the other quarterfinal matchups. Now, unlike state volleyball, there were a couple of upsets in the opening round of the Class 5A football playoffs. Both Centennial and Valley advanced as lower seeds, and those teams will have to hit the road again. The Jaguars will play at Bettendorf, while Valley goes to Waukee. Top-ranked Southeast Polk will host Cedar Falls in the other quarterfinal. So do you give, you know, any or all of those road teams a shot?
Kind of. Centennial, not a surprise to anybody right now that they're at this stage. They were a team that had some things, some breaks didn't go their way early on in the season. And I think if you look at what they had coming into the season right now, maybe the record surprises you. But, hey, at this point, everybody's 1-0. Coming in, or 0-0, I guess, at this stage, with a chance to go to the Dome next week. And I really like our football, our physical style of football, yet just enough finesse that you keep teams honest, and I think that'll match up very well against what Bettendorf has over there for Centennial. The big matchup, I think, is Cedar Falls and Southeast Polk. Southeast Polk, I don't think, has any reason to be too concerned about an upset, but the physicality of Cedar Falls and the way they play defense could really cause some issues for Southeast Polk. I do think Southeast Polk at the end of the night is going to be able to throw the ball on them, and I think that's going to help them out a ton. Valley. Upset in seed, they don't surprise anybody anymore in the postseason. Gary's one of the best coaches in the state, Hall of Famer, and he's probably the best coach in the state for what they do and how they improve throughout the course of the year. And watching them win, I don't think that was a surprise to anybody that they were able to beat Pleasant Valley. And quite honestly, these, as they go over and play Waukee won fairly handily a couple weeks ago, but as we've seen with the case of Centennial and Waukee Northwest, those games don't mean a whole lot. But I think Waukee's a team that they've just got better and better throughout the course of the year. We were able to scrimmage them to start. That's probably the game of the week, as far as that's completely a toss-up as you look at it on paper, because just from a seeding standpoint, throw that out. I don't think that doesn't matter at all right now, because all these teams are one or two individual plays away from their records being completely flipped around. So I wouldn't say seeding-wise that would be an upset, but that's going to be a crazy football game. I know Waukee's had some injuries that have knocked them down, but if I'm not at our game on Friday night, that's definitely the game I've got my eye on.
Well, yeah, Valley certainly showed last year that a lower-seeded team, you know, can make it all the way.
They've done it a couple years in a row. They're on, like, their third year of playing, or maybe more. Actually, in 2020, we were getting ready to play them, and they had a big COVID outbreak on the team, so we didn't have to rematch. We didn't have a rematch with them to go to the Dome. So, and I think that now they've been there the last 2 years since then, or close, something like that. But, yeah, there should be nothing about Valley football that surprises anybody when they have success.
Well, like you mentioned, I know Centennial feels like, even though the record doesn't show it, they feel like when they're playing their best, that they're one of the best teams in the state.
Sure, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's a lot of teams. The ceiling of so many of these teams around here is so high, and to have success, you've really got to take away that ceiling and make teams play average or below average, and defensively and offensively. And if you get some teams if teams get you into situations where they can dictate what happens, that's like a dumb statement, but there's so many things. You just want to stay out of bad situations with a lot, whether it's field position or down in distance or getting behind by a couple, things like that were not necessarily controllable, but a little bit controllable. And any team around here, I think, especially as you look at these final eight, any of these teams are capable of beating the others.
Oh, for sure. Well, it should be a fun couple of days. I'm probably not going to see your football game, because I'm going to be in Iowa City for the volleyball the next couple of days. Then I'm just going to stay over there and go watch the Jags play.
But, all right.
It should be a fun couple of weeks here. So, hey, good luck the rest of the way, Andy.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a realtor at Caldwell Banker, and he's been a frequent guest on the podcast. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
It's always fun. Good to see you.
Yeah, you bet. Well, before we talk some real estate, I know you're a big sports fan and an Iowa Hawkeye fan in particular. You know, I wanted to get your thoughts on the big news that broke yesterday. Of course, Brian Ferentz will be out as offensive coordinator at the end of the season. Now, this is a move that many fans have been clamoring for a long time, but you know, I was kind of surprised that the move was announced with a month to go in the regular season. You know, what did you think? Were you surprised?
I'm not surprised that he's not coming back. I was a little bit surprised that they announced it, but then if you think about it, they're probably already in the works of getting his replacement in place and trying to get him lined up and doing some of that stuff behind the scenes. So hopefully that means good things for the future. I feel bad for him. I think he's a solid guy. I just think that the style of ball that he wants to play is not the kind of ball that a lot of guys want to come play for.
Right. Well, there has been some speculation that maybe Kirk wasn't happy about it and that perhaps this will be something that nudges him out the door as well at the end of the season. Now, how do you think things will shake out? Do you expect Kirk to be back next year? And do you think the offense would look drastically different under a different coordinator if he does?
I think he will be back. I don't think he's happy about it. I think the hope is that they get a coordinator and they can bring in some talent and shore up the line, which is a big problem, so that they can have some good success and that he can end his career on a high note. I don't think he wants to end his career the way the season is going. I mean, I've never seen as bad a team with as good a record as they have right now. I mean, but when you're contending in the Big Ten worst, and I mean, you're just trying to. When I was in high school, little town in eastern Iowa, the guys who never had a chance to play played in the fifth quarter after the game was over. Mm-hmm. And we were always vying to see who could start in the fifth quarter. That's kind of what the Big Ten worst feels like. It's like they're all contending to be the best of the worst. And so they're going to end up with a better record than what they are as a team. And then they're going to get into a bowl and get destroyed probably. And that's not the way Kirk wants to end his career, I don't think.
Sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see what direction they go with the coordinator position. You know, do they bring in a guy who has a completely different philosophy and just like blow up the entire offense and try to bring in, kids that do want to play in some of these more modern offenses, shall we say? Or do they bring in a guy who maybe just makes some subtle changes?
I think that's going to knock is that everybody says, Iowa, those kind of high-talent guys are not going to come to Iowa. But the portal, you can get some guys that own a good fit in a program somewhere. We could get them here to do that. I think there is an opportunity for us to change it up and make some serious change because I think the fan base is really disgruntled with what we've been doing. And I think that we've proven that we have talent. We have Hawkeyes in the NFL all over the place. We can get talent here. Why can't doing on the offensive side of the ball?
Oh, for sure. Let's talk a little real estate now. The calendar is about ready to turn to November, so winter is almost here. We can feel it today. Do things slow down a little bit this time of year for you, or does the weather not really matter that much to you?
Well, the weather is the weather, and people need to buy houses when they need to buy houses. I think that, the historic traditional real estate cycles have been so out of whack since COVID. I was just looking today. We have felt a slowdown that's been generated by the interest rates. They've been bouncing around 8%, which has been a shock. They just jumped up so fast that people are kind of trying to process that and what's that mean for timing for doing a move. If it's a move of convenience, most of those people are being very cautious and kind of on the sidelines. Some people have to make the move and they are. Houses are still selling and they're out there though. The inventory rates are going up.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So, but it's good and it's not. I mean, I was also looking at new build permits in the city of Ankeny, year over year from last year to this year, and they're off about 15%. So there are about 15% fewer new homes being built in Ankeny, and that's before we get the October number. We had two big decreases in August and September. They were down 49 and 55% year over year. If October continues that, then that's really pumping the brakes on new construction, which means that next year, if we do see a softening of the interest rates, if they would have to get down in the sixes, I think activity is just going to explode. The inventory is not going to be there to process it, and prices are going to go up, and we're going to have multiple offers and all of that. So I think that the word of the day is just caution. Everybody's cautious of not knowing exactly what's going to happen.
We've obviously been doing this for a long time, and you know the market very well. And I think I've asked you this question before, but if somebody in the area is looking for a real estate agent, what advice would you give them as far as, trying to pick the agent that's right for them?
Yeah, that's always a hard thing because everybody knows an agent, Somebody is related to an agent. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the most important financial decisions you're going to make. And so it's really important to, if you've got a friend that's an agent but they're not experienced, sit down and talk to them. And maybe they can get a referral fee, but you need to get an agent that has experience, especially in this market, to be able to negotiate for you and to keep their eyes out for potential problems that maybe you don't see.
Well, hey, I'm going to have to get a hold of you. My wife is trying to talk me into investing in some real estate. She thinks we can make some money that way, so she has to convince me. But
a lot of people do, so.
I know they do. So, well, hey, Tom, thanks for stopping by today. I appreciate it, and enjoy this lovely day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the second-ranked Ankeny Centennial volleyball team, and she has guided the Jaguars to a 31-6 record. On Monday, her team outlasted number 7 Ankeny in 5 sets to advance to the Class 5A semifinals. She is Jessica Reinhardt. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good today. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, you bet. Well, that was such a dramatic win for your team with a lot of twists and turns, but, the tournament is all about surviving and advancing. I'm sure you felt a lot of different emotions afterwards, but, you had to be relieved more than anything else, huh?
Yes, definitely relieved when that last point went down. It was a wild one. I asked our assistant coach, Stacel, what the day was going to look like. She goes, get ready for the roller coaster. I was like, no. Sure enough, it happened.
Well, obviously the win advances you into Wednesday's showdown against number 3 Waukee Northwest, and we'll break down that match here in a minute. But after a thrilling win like that, how long do you let the girls celebrate the victory, and at what point do you try to get them to start focusing on the next match?
We'll refocus tonight at practice. We have a quick practice scouting report before we take off back for Iowa City. But I told them to enjoy the entire night and the entire day at school, and then we'll get back to it.
Well, the stats from Monday's match, show what an even battle it was. Both teams finished with 53 kills. They both had 8 aces and had about the same number of digs. If there was one area that proved to be the difference, it was probably your team's blocking. You guys finished with 22 total blocks, 8 more than Ankeny. Senior Anna Sash led the way with 12 blocks, including a Class 5A single match record of 7 solo blocks. She just came up huge in that 5th set, didn't she?
So proud of her, yes. She's looked amazing the last 2 weeks in practice. Seniors at this point in the season are highly motivated to keep their, season going. And I thought Anna gave us great leadership and stepped up big to help us get the win.
Well, I thought your libero, Miley Butters, was a big part of your defensive effort as well. She finished with 26 digs. And I remember one play in particular where I think she dug up the ball 4 different times. She's just fearless the way she dives on the court after a ball, isn't she?
She's amazing. You can't teach Maya some of the things that she has. You just let Maya be Maya. And she's been phenomenal all year.
Well, even though you guys prevailed, I'm sure you have a lot of respect for Ankeny and what the Hawkettes were able to accomplish this season under first-year coach Liz Bethke. Ankeny lost its top 2 returning players in Tanith Roush and Eowyn Schrader to season-ending injuries. And for the Hawkettes to get to where they did, without them, that was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
It was absolutely impressive. They've done a phenomenal job. They had hard breaks, this season with those injuries. And for them to step on the court and compete and people, step up for them. And a lot of them are juniors, so I think they're going to be really tough next year.
Oh, for sure. Well, now your team gets to face another CIML conference rival in Waukee Northwest. The Wolves advanced with a 4-set win over Cedar Falls. I assume you guys stuck around to watch that match before you came home. What did you think of Northwest's performance?
I thought they looked good yesterday. They ran a real balanced offense. They didn't get very challenged by Cedar Falls' block, so I'm hoping that our block can challenge the hitters a lot more than what Cedar Falls did.
While I was preparing for the podcast this morning, I was looking at Northwest's roster. I know Coach Vogt has 3 of her daughters on the team, including Cameron, who is a Northern Iowa recruit. They have 2 Pels. They have 2 players named Chloe, although they spell their names differently. And they also have a Kate and a Katie. So I'm not sure I can keep all these players straight, but it's probably a challenge for you too, huh?
Yes. I think at one point in time, they have the 3 Vogt sisters on the court in addition to the 2 Pels. And so it's 2 families and 1 other player playing on the court at the same time, which is wild.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No.
Well, the Wolves had 5 players who recorded between 9 and 12 kills yesterday, so it was really a balanced attack, and that's been kind of a staple of their program all season. You can't really focus on just 1 or 2 players when you're defending them, can you?
Correct. What you can hope to do is serve tough so they're out of system, and then you have a better idea of where you need to put your block. So that will be our plan.
Well, you guys defeated the Wolves in 3 sets at the Urbandale Invitational on September 30th, and then you posted a 5-set win at Northwest in a conference match on October 10th. But that match was about as close as it could get. Northwest was actually ahead 14-12 in set 5, and they had 2 match points, but then your team scored the next 4 points to come out with the win. So on paper, this looks like a really even matchup, doesn't it?
It does. I expect it to be a battle. I think we've improved from the time that we played them, and I'm sure they probably improved too. So I'm hoping that with what we've done the last 3 weeks, it will help us create a bigger gap in our games.
Well, at this point, you know, the two teams are obviously very familiar with each other. You know, they know what you guys like to do, and you know what they like to do. You know, I'm sure there are some small adjustments that you can make, but, you know, at this point, is it really just a matter of which team executes the best?
It is. I was looking at our scouting report from 3 weeks ago when we played them, and what I added when they played Cedar Falls, and that's pretty much the same. This is going to come down to us playing our best when we step on that court on Wednesday.
Well, if you guys are able to win, you would then advance to Thursday's championship match at 10 a.m., so you'd have less than 24 hours to prepare for your next opponent. Number one, Dowling Catholic, will face number four, Pleasant Valley, in the other semifinal match. And your team hasn't played Pleasant Valley this season. I don't know if you were able to get much of a glimpse of them yesterday. But how do you see that match? Do you expect the Maroons to advance?
I do. I think they're ready to play in that championship. They have a lot of weapons. And if it happens to be Pleasant Valley, I'll have to grab some video and prepare for that one.
Well, your team lost a 5-set match to Dowling back on September 5th, and then you lost to the Maroons again in the semifinals of the Westside Invitational on October 7th at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. So that's a team that you haven't been able to solve yet, but I'm sure both you and the girls would love another shot at Dowling, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I think it's more fun to go after someone in the finals than to defend something. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they've beat us twice, I think we'd have a fun mentality going into that one if we get the opportunity.
Well, I don't want to get too far into the weeds with Dowling because we don't know yet for sure, you know, if the matchup will even materialize. But if it does, you know, is it the Maroon size that presents the most problems? I mean, when you look at their lineup, they start 3 6-footers, and one of them is the setter, Ella Rogers. You know, you just don't see that kind of size very often, do you?
They're large, yeah. And they have multiple hitters that can put the ball away. So big, good players are hard to beat.
Well, it should be a fun couple of days. You know, I'll see you over there tomorrow, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, my final guest today is a junior outside hitter for the Jaguars, and she contributed 10 kills and 12 digs in yesterday's win. She was a member of last year's all-tournament team, and this season she ranked second on the Centennial team with 312 kills and 244 digs. She is Jaden Pratt. Jaden, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win yesterday. It certainly looked for a while like you guys might get a sweep, but then Ankeny seized the momentum and was able to win sets 3 and 4 to force a decisive fifth set. You know, what was going through your mind when the Hawkettes were rallying? Did you get worried at all?
A little bit, but I really didn't doubt our team very much. We knew that it was going to be a hard match to begin with just because of the rivalry and the pressure that there is, but I was proud of the way that we stepped up and just answered in the fifth set.
Well, we talked with Coach about Anna Sash's performance in set 5, and you told me yesterday that Anna, you know, won the match for you guys. Obviously, going into that fifth set, your team needed somebody to step up to halt the Yankees' momentum, and she just kind of took over the match, didn't she?
Yeah, it was really great to have her close the blocks and get her hands over. We definitely have been working on that a lot in practice, and just seeing it correlate to the game was very great for her.
Well, the crowd was tremendous yesterday, and Centennial certainly had a huge student section at the match. How much do you think the crowd helped you guys?
I mean, it's always a fun match when Ankeny is there because you know that both sides are going to rally just as hard for each other. But I'm glad that our student section was loud and cheering for us and didn't back down the whole entire game.
Well, you also had a couple of blocks in that fifth set, and those were crucial because the Hawkettes really had things rolling there for a while. Reagan Hanfeld led Ankeny with 16 kills, and it was her run of 3 straight points that kind of sparked the Hawkettes' rally in set 3. Both Reagan and Cameron Scheib enjoyed outstanding seasons for Ankeny, along with libero Bailey Carlson. And boy, those guys are going to be a handful next year, aren't they?
Yes, Bailey's a very scrappy player. She can get almost her hands on anything. She can read the floor very well. Reagan runs a very good slide, and we found that hard to defend, but as soon as I lined up with her, I knew that I could stop her and hopefully stop the momentum. Cameron does a great job on the outside. She hits her spots. She hasn't played very much last year, so she stepped up great this year and was very crucial for Ankeny.
Well, now you guys get to play Waukee Northwest in the semifinals. We already broke down those earlier matches with Coach, but do you think the fact that your team won both of those previous meetings gives you kind of a mental edge going into this match?
I mean, it gives us a little bit of confidence, but we know that no team is going to be easy to defend at the state tournament, and they're going to come at us just as strong. So I think us just having high energy and just playing how we play will take care of itself.
Well, in a matchup between two teams that are so evenly matched, what do you think is going to be the key for you guys to come out on top again?
I definitely think talking and communication is going to be ideal, and blocking, and just whoever can serve and pass the best is going to have the better outcome, and just having energy staying high.
Well, we talked with Coach about the possibility of a Centennial versus Dowling championship match if the top two seeds are able to advance. How badly would you like another shot at the Maroons?
I would really like that. It's always nice to get revenge, but we have to make it there first, and hopefully we get that chance.
Well, Jane, you won a state track title in the long jump last spring, but you're still seeking your first state championship in a team sport. You've been knocking on the door in both volleyball and basketball, but just haven't been able to get over that hump. And it's usually been the semifinals where your teams have fallen short. You obviously can't win the title until you get to the championship. So do you feel like this is the time for you to get there and to have that opportunity to play for championship?
Yes, I do. I feel like our team has grown very bigly over the past couple months, and I think that we can do anything that we set our mind to, and if we can just keep pushing for each point and having faith in each other, I have no doubt that we can get a championship.
What would that mean to you personally to win a championship, and how do you think that would compare to being an individual, you know, state champ in track?
I think it would be great, not only for me, but for the team itself, just because we've worked so hard all season long, and I've gotten very close to championship almost each year. I've grown gradually, and I think it would be great just to get that picture after.
Well, Coach has four championship rings, and so she needs one for the thumb, right?
Yes. Give the thumb.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming today, Jane, and good luck tomorrow. I'll see you over there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Dowling assistant football coach Andy Pollock, along with Coldwell Banker realtor Tom Butler, and then we finished up with Centennial volleyball coach Jessica Reinhardt and junior outside hitter Jaden Pratt. I appreciate the time from all of those folks here in this busy week. And we weren't able to connect with the Ankeny Christian Academy folks this week. They were practicing this morning and then heading over to Coralville for their first match tonight in the Class 1A tournament. But we'll see how the tournament goes this week. We might be able to connect with them next week. And we'll see how the football playoffs go as well. We might do some more on the football playoffs next week. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.